please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. And I'll reverence the God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he told his disciples, "You know that the Passover takes place after 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the courtyard of the high priest, who was named Caiaphas. And they conspired to arrest Jesus in a treacherous way and kill him. Not during the festival, they said, so there won't be rioting among the people. While Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman approached him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. She poured it on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This might have been sold for a great deal and given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a noble thing for me. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. By pouring this perfume on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the man called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they weighed out 30 pieces of silver for him. And from that time, he started looking for a good opportunity to betray him. Let me see. Jesus has just finished explaining to the disciples the things that are going to happen at the end of time, right before he comes in his power and glory, and he describes the tribulation period and what's going to happen there, and he describes about the people that will be separated as sheep and goats are separated. The sheep being those that believed what he said and took appropriate action. The goats are those that didn't really believe what he said and did not take care of fellow believers and the Jewish people. And in this, let me remind you what he said. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me." And then Jesus goes on to explain that when you do that for others, other believers, and the Jewish people, it's the same as doing it for Jesus. And that should have been fresh on the mind of the disciples. But Jesus has finished explaining everything, and now he's going to remind them of what's about to happen. He's talked about what's going to happen in the far future, and now he's talking about what's happening in the near future. He says, "You know that the Passover is in 2 days, and you know that the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." He has told them this at least 4 times that he's going to be crucified. He's told them he's going to Jerusalem to be crucified. He's told them the chief priests are going to be the ones that are going to do it. And now he's telling them the exact time. at the Passover. And at this time, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his death. He's ready to die. There have been many times they tried to kill Jesus. Herod the Great tried to kill Jesus shortly after he was born, while he was still in Bethlehem. But God warned Joseph to take the baby Jesus and Mary into Egypt, protect them. When Jesus began his ministry, they were trying to kill him. When he went into the synagogue and proclaimed the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, they tried to take him to the cliff at the edge of the city and throw him off the side, but he just walked past them. When he began his ministry in John 15:8, they started planning how to arrest him and kill him. Also in John 7:25 and John 7:44 through 46, they're always trying to kill Jesus, but they're not succeeding. And in John 7:44 through 46, they sent some soldiers to arrest Jesus, the chief priests had. And then they came back and said, "We never heard anybody talk like this." They were amazed, the ones that sent to arrest Jesus. Well, Jesus knows the proper time at the Passover. Now, the Passover is celebrated every year by Orthodox Jewish people, and we also celebrate Easter, which is the Sunday following Passover. Passover celebrates a reminder of the death angel passing over all the houses in Egypt that had the blood on the doorpost. If the death angel did not see the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn in that household was going to die. And after that, the people of Egypt, of Israel, in Egypt, were allowed to leave. Pharaoh had been told by Moses, God says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh kept saying, "Yes, but no. Yes, but I changed my mind, no." And finally he said, "Go, get out of here." After the Passover of the death angel. But that Passover that's celebrated every year is a reminder of the Passover lamb that was coming, that would be fulfilled by God himself. Jesus is prepared to die. But there's some other people making preparations. Look at verse 3 of chapter 26. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the courtyard of the high priest, who was named Caiaphas. And they conspired to arrest Jesus in a treacherous way and kill him. So they're preparing to kill Jesus. And they said, it can't be during Passover. Well, Jesus had already said it's going to be in the Passover. And just like when they tried to kill him and they couldn't, now they're not going to be able to stop his being sacrificed, even though they're preparing something else. But there's a third group. Jesus is prepared to die. The chief priests are prepared to kill Jesus. But there's also someone prepared to worship him. And it tells us at the house of Simon the leper in Bethany. Now, lepers were not allowed to live in the city. So this tells us that Simon had been cured. And leprosy was an incurable disease. So it tells us that Jesus, the miraculous healer, was the one that cured him. And in the Gospel of John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we get a little bit more detail of this. We find out that Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, his sisters, are there at this feast to celebrate Jesus. And Mary's the one that pours the perfume on Jesus. And we're also told that it was worth a year's wages for the average working man. Well, the disciples don't like it. And they're talking among themselves, sort of mumbling under their breath, or muttering to one another, because it tells us Jesus was aware of it. It's not like Jesus responded to what they said. No, he responded to what they were whispering to each other and what they thought. Judas, we're told, was the key individual. He's the one that first said, it could be sold for 300 denarii. That's 300 days' wages. But the Gospel of John also tells us he wasn't concerned about selling it and giving the money to the poor. He was the one that was the disciples' treasurer. He kept the money bag, and he was a thief. All the money that went in, it was like one to Jesus' ministry, one to Judas' pocket, one to Jesus' ministry, one to Judas' pocket. And it was not just Judas, but the other disciples were not thinking about Jesus. Remember, Jesus had just described the difference between the sheep and the goats. The sheep are the ones that looked out, took care of Jesus and his followers. Well, Mary's the only one that was taking care of Jesus. She was showing her worship of him. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Whenever the gospel is taught, this will be told about her in memory of her. And guess what? You've just been told about Mary and what she did to worship Jesus as we're talking about the gospel. She was the one that understood. She was the one that sat at Jesus' feet when Martha wanted Mary to come help her in the kitchen. Mary was listening to what Jesus taught. The disciples were not focused on Jesus. They were focused on others. Judas, possibly because he would have got a lot of money out of 300 denarius, how much if that perfume had sold. This might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. He's going to die, and I'm not going to get any money. And so our fourth group is prepared. Jesus was prepared to die. The chief priests were prepared to kill him. Mary was prepared to worship. And Judas is preparing to betray Jesus. He goes to the chief priest. They might still be in the courtyard of Caiaphas. It doesn't tell us where he'd be. He just said, what will you give me if I turn him over to you, if I betray him? And that's not just pointing him out in the crowd, because they could do that themselves. But they were looking for someone that would testify against him in court to help them have a case against Jesus. And they laid out for him 30 pieces of silver. That was the ransom price if someone was going to redeem themselves from being a slave. We see that in Exodus 21:32. It's also prophesied in Zechariah 11:12 that that would be the price that would pay for the one that would be sacrificed. And Judas, he might have been viewed as the answer to prayer for the chief priest. He was viewed as their deliverer. They were preparing to find a way to get Jesus, and here comes one walking up to the door. But they ignored the one that was their true deliverer, the one that came to deliver them from sins. Four groups. Jesus was prepared to die. The chief priests were prepared to kill him. Mary was prepared to worship. And Judas was preparing to betray him. Which group will we fall into? preparing to worship, preparing to ignore him, preparing to bring harm to him. This past week, someone gave a commencement address at a Catholic college. A Catholic football player that plays for the NFL team, who is a Catholic. That'd be a Catholic football player, would be Catholic too. I guess unless you play for a Catholic football team. He's not playing for a Catholic football team, but he's a Catholic playing on a football team. The second best record in all history of the NFL for kickers gave a commencement address, and he explained how he believes what Scripture says is the right role for a Catholic. And people want him fired from his NFL team because he dared talk to other Catholics about Catholic beliefs and his Catholic beliefs at a Catholic university. Well, people were prepared and are preparing to try to have him lose his job because he dared speak what the Bible says. The chief priests were preparing to kill Jesus because he dared fulfill Scripture and show them that they weren't. There have been a few people that acknowledged the rightness of this commencement address. Just like there was just Mary, a minority, worshiping Jesus, realizing the truth. A lot of people are just not saying anything, like the disciples, thinking there would have been a better way. But Jesus knew the proper way, the proper time, and the proper place. And he is offering himself to be sacrificed. He tells those that are accusing him that he has the authority to take up his life and to lay it down. And when Pilate told him, "I have the authority to set you free," Jesus tells Pilate, "You wouldn't have any authority unless it had been given to you by God." God's in charge. No matter what people are prepared, God has a place that he has prepared for us, and he's coming back to take us to be with him. Are you prepared for his return? Stay with me for a closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this time we could be. I pray that everything that's said and done will be to honor you, and let us be preparing for your return. Make sure that our hearts are prepared, that we have been forgiven, and that we are looking forward to that day that you are coming back as you pray in our situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.